Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, and the famous Alec Medford. For now, we are without, oh man, Corey Majors. He said if we do a good job, he'll show up for the show today. Alec, I know that's a lot of pressure, but do you think we can get the job done?
That's a lot of pressure. I was feeling good until I heard that. So the confidence is shaken, but not stirred, okay? I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling pretty good about what we can do here.
Okay, the other thing I'm a little tiny bit nervous about is whilst y'all are doing the show at Taco Bueno in Arlington off of North Collins tomorrow, I'm going to be doing the show from Las Vegas for the Canelo Crawford fight. Corey was my ride to the airport.
Oh.
So.
You got to walk?
Okay, well, I'm definitely not going to make it. The flight's at 3:45. So we'll figure that out. We're going to figure that out along the way, all right? And we are going to start, I mean, seriously, what the hell do you think we're going to start with? Go ahead and give me, you know what? Give me cut number one, because obviously we've all been digging this fella.
Here's Yelich, the left-handed hitter. He swings and he blasts one to deep center field. Back goes Hellman. He's at the wall. He leaps. He's got it. Smacks into the wall and hangs on to the baseball. Of course he did.
See? And Eric Nadel knows exactly what we're all thinking. Of course he did. So the Rangers get the victory over the Brewers. They complete the sweep over the team with the best record in baseball. Now, if you don't think they're the best team in baseball, we probably won't dive into that discussion right here and right now. But the team with the best record in baseball, and for now, it feels easy to say thus far, this is the defining series performance for the Texas Rangers this season. Do you feel like that is fair to say?
It has to be, because the simple fact that the best team in baseball did walk in, and it's not like they were struggling coming in either. It feels like every time you check in on MLB Network or any MLB socials, it's those Brewers, they keep doing that thing, and it is magical. And you were able to hit the brakes really fast on that. And not only did you just get the sweep, I felt like every win had some sort of moment of significance, including this game. Whether it was Michael Hellman's catch, whether it was Jake Berger stepping up and two home runs, give me that double cheeseburger all day. But I do think that each game had some sort of significance to it. You guys talked with Boach yesterday about it, the resilience and the comeback efforts as well. The way this team, it just feels like at some points in the season, whenever you were down by two runs, you could say, well, that's all she wrote with this offense. Now, at least for three games, it felt like, no. The pitching's going to get it figured out, and then the offense is going to step up whenever you need it most. So I felt like all three games did have some sort of defining moment within themselves to make that the defining series of the season.
You know what? And I'd be inclined to agree with that. And obviously, we're going to continue to say, hopefully, so far, because you're about to come up once again. I knew you got the Mets first. But you're about to come up once again on another Astros series that obviously feels like it will become the new most important series of the season, and hopefully continually down the line until the team makes the playoffs. But for now, the defining series of the season, and you talked about our conversation with Bochy yesterday. I just want to go back and point out something specifically. September 2nd and September 3rd. You look at those back-to-back games with the Diamondbacks, and you lost both of them. But outside of that, it has been more than 3 weeks since you had another back-to-back loss. And that's been one of the things that I've been so impressed. And that's why we asked multiple questions to Bochy about it yesterday. You're not going to go 162-0, but you go back to the series finale against Kansas City. You lose that game. What happens after that? You win three straight. You lose the opener to the Angels. What happens after that? You win six straight. I already talked about the back-to-back losses, but then you lose the middle game to the Astros. And quite frankly, you got stomped out by the Astros. And what happens after that? They win four in a row. This team has done a remarkable job at bouncing back emphatically following losses. And from the 4-6-9, Corey better not say we're still a game and a half back. All right, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is Corey, to the letter of what you said, is not specifically here at this moment to tell you that is the case.
That's right.
The bad news is that means I will instead tell you that the Rangers remain 1.5 games back in the wild card race. But I think people need to look at the broader picture. And what you have done in the meantime, while Seattle has, by the way, Seattle is in the midst of their own winning streak to keep you at 1.5 back. And so while you've won four straight, you haven't actually, the Rangers haven't actually picked up any ground on Seattle. And I get that's frustrating. But let's look bigger picture. What has happened in the meantime? You were only 2.5 games back of the Astros, but also you have brought the Yankees and the Red Sox back into focus for a wild card spot. So for the longest time, and I'm not saying like, look out, the Rangers are guaranteed to be the number one wild card team, but take a look at take a look at what could potentially be happening. You're 2.5 games back of the Astros. So now, in addition to the Mariners, the Astros are another team that you can track. And now you're 4 games back of both the Red Sox and the Yankees in the wild card. So now you're not only just chasing one team whose spot you could take. There are 4. You can now look at the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mariners, and the Astros and say you could take their playoff spot. And that is a great, great thing for the Rangers.
That is, and the Yankees and Red Sox specifically is interesting because they do start their own series against each other coming up tomorrow. So you can have a little bit of a chance to get some more advantage, gain a little bit more ground on one of those teams, if not both, going into the rest of their seasons. And it's not going to be a cakewalk per se for the Red Sox looking at their schedule. They do have the Athletics afterwards, but the Blue Jays are going to stand in their way and the Tigers seem like they can flip a switch at any time to be competitive as well. So you could try to catch up to them. There's a few different ways that this is in focus, but that's what I hate about this time of the year is that even though mathematically it doesn't make sense, it feels like when they take one step forward, they take two steps back just because the things that they can't control,
right,
which is the other teams surrounding them, the other teams ahead and behind of them in the standings, that just feels like...
Did you just say in behind of them?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the gears going. I tried to go no energy drink today, and then lo and behold, whoa, Corey doesn't show up. So now I'm like, well, that was a bad idea because I need to function, and English is hard. But looking at some of the schedules for the teams that are around you, there are opportunities to gain some ground. You just got to take care of your own business at the same time. And what better way to start by beating and sweeping the best team in baseball, which you said you can have your own conversation about if they're actually the best.
I get it.
But the numbers say, and Hagee, you're a math guy.
I do like the numbers.
The numbers say that they're the best team in baseball. But no, the confidence has to be really high for this group right now. And again, that resilience. I really like how you asked Boach yesterday. You're like, do you think people have kind of prioritized the win streak a little bit more than not losing back-to-back games or having strings of losses? That's a theme of Bruce Bochy clubs at this time of the year, is not stringing those back-to-back losses in succession. That's how you write your own story and the end of your own story, and they're avoiding that at all costs.
Now, I want to throw out, obviously, we need to talk some more about Jake Berger. So you know what? Go ahead and give me cut number 2. Don't worry. We got plenty of Jake Berger highlights.
Here's the 1-2, and that one lifted high and deep into center field. Perkins going back to the track. He runs out of room. It's gone. Jake Berger with a home run just a little to the left of straightaway center field. He puts Texas on the board here at 2-1.
Now, Jake Berger has 16 home runs this season, and this information courtesy of our good buddy Jared Sandler. 8 of them have been at least 420 feet. That is tied for the Rangers lead with Corey Seager. Nobody else on the team has more than 4 that go that distance, Adolis Garcia. Now, I know the counter argument could be, as long as it goes over the wall, it counts all of the same. But there is something to those prodigious shots that you're like, oh, well, there's no doubt that that is a home run. And afterwards, Jake Berger said something that I think has really been the key to all of this for probably the last 3 weeks. He said, it feels like it's somebody different every single night. And while he's in the midst of that, Sam Haggerty comes by and from across the clubhouse and he goes, it was you today, Berg. And so, like, people are, and that is my interpretation of it. I didn't ask for the audio. I don't actually know how much that got picked up on, like, actual audio. But I think that is a great sign that not only is the win streak hyping people up in the clubhouse, they're listening to one another, they're engaging with one another. And that really is backed up by the numbers. We have lamented this offense pretty much all season. But going into, well, outside of maybe the last month or so, yesterday, Freddy Peralta, he had not given up a run in his last five starts. The last time he gave up a run, back on August 5th. And so what happens in the game? The Rangers hang five runs on him. And again, this is an offense that we have lamented about quite a bit. He only gets through five innings. He gives up five runs. And then the other person that I wanted to shout out was Robert Garcia. I know. Let's all calm down. I have also been there and seen these struggles of Robert Garcia. In fact, if you go back almost exactly a month, I feel like that might have been the apex of people's frustrations with Robert Garcia. But since that point, 10 straight appearances without giving up an earned run, and he put the Brewers down in order in the seventh inning. So whether it's Haggerty hanging out with Berger, Berger hitting home runs, Robert Garcia starting his redemption tour over the last month, I don't think at least two of those people are people we would have thought, hey, this will probably be leading you to victory.
Yeah, and whenever you tell me that Merrill Kelly is going to give up 10 hits in a game and then Robert Garcia is going to be the second guy out of the pen to try to clean that up, I'm probably looking at a loss. You know, just because of what we have come to expect from Robert Garcia after a tough stretch, after acquiring him in the Nate Lowe trade. It just wasn't pretty for a couple of months, but it does feel like, you know, every series, every week or so, there is that new hero of each game, of each week. And Robert Garcia has been, as I expected, you know, looking at some of his numbers and whatnot when they did acquire him. You think about the really bad defense that was played behind him. We're like, okay, kind of give this guy a chance. And it's almost like sticker shock of, hey, I have some gold glovers behind me. I need to kind of trust my stuff a little bit more. And when he is confident, he's a really emotional guy on the mound. Like, if you watch the telecast of the games, you can see after ending an inning, he's pumping the fist. He's screaming at himself. Like, he's a very emotional guy. We talk about the same with John Gray when he was healthy. Is like, he will get a little bit down in terms of emotions whenever things aren't going well, but he's really feeling his stuff right now. So I feel like when you do have that one guy, even if it is just one reliever, that is giving you that stroke of
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Confidence, you can probably win these games where the starter might not have his command. He might not have his stuff. 10 hits on the ledger for Merrill Kelly, but he still gives you 5 2/3, and you win that game. That's a Bruce Bochy special right there, just instilling that confidence in the team.
And then from the 682, I guess this is true. I don't know what makes this pop into this person's head today, but it's true. From the 682, this sweep won't matter if they get swept by the Mets. I mean, that's true. We haven't even gotten through game one with the Mets, so I'm not concerned about that yet, and hopefully we will not get to that point.
I just want to enjoy an off day, man.
Yeah.
Let me ride this high for 24 hours, and then we can talk about it.
I suppose that is fair. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the 2025 NFL season by the numbers. Plus, would you be willing to pay extra for physical tickets? We'll do it next right here on the Fan.
Inside the one, Lipke motion right to left. Handoff, Javonte Williams. Bang at left guard, and the Cowboys score the first touchdown of the season.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Eaglin, and Alec Medford for the day. Corey said he will let us know if we do a good job, he will show up. Now, somebody in the first segment said it doesn't sound like he's showing up, which obviously that hurts my feelings. All right, you have three options. You want to talk about the NFL numbers for the season or physical tickets and sports, or the fact that I have never ordered an Uber in my life.
Oh, this is a great litany of options here. I'm going to say, let's start with NFL.
Okay.
But I do want to hear about your non-Uber experience.
Okay, I was prepared for all of these possibilities. Who will be... Now, I'm just going to run through some numbers. If you want to stop on any of them, please do let me know. It just took 1 week for the odds to radically change about who will be the first quarterback benched. Previously leading the way, it was Joe Flacco and Spencer Rattler. Now, I don't want to make it sound like they've taken off and they are now unimpeachable. They are just tied for second. But by far, the leading candidate is, of course, Russell Wilson. And so it goes Russell Wilson in first, Joe Flacco and Spencer Rattler tied for second, and then Caleb Williams fourth and Tua in fifth. Similar trajectory for the first coach fired. Mike McDaniel was a slight favorite over Brian Daboll, but now Mike McDaniel is a massive favorite to be the first coach fired. Any questions or issues, I'm guessing no, with the concept of Russell Wilson being the first quarterback bench and Mike McDaniel being the first coach fired?
No, I don't have any issues with the leaders. The Russell Wilson one is unfortunate for him just because they did get one of the pet cat quarterbacks of the draft that everybody was kind of intrigued by. If that doesn't happen, then there's no conversation. If any, it's going to be, well, Jameis Winston would at least be a little bit more fun to watch. You know, it wouldn't be a serious thing. It would be tongue-in-cheek. But now he's got to worry about that just because he does have that kind of prized quarterback prospect sitting behind him. But for the coaches, I mean, there's really no conversation outside of Mike McDaniel. That was one of the worst showings after all of the noise going into the season that I've seen in a while, because it felt like the noise was louder about their opposition in week one. It was louder about the Colts because Daniel Jones is starting at quarterback.
Hell
for
yeah.
Them. Shane Steichen, people still don't really know what he does in the NFL. Like, there's so many conversations about the Colts and how bad they could be. The Dolphins found a way to turn the tables and steal all the headlines in the worst way. Yeah, he's got to be number one until it actually happens.
Now, this is one of my favorite things to do for all sports. The absurd pace that players are on. Will the regular season passing record of 5,477 yards be broken? If you think yes, 5.5 times your money. The record is held by Peyton Manning in 2013, although Josh Allen is on pace to throw for 6,700 yards this season. So, feels like a simple bet to win. Alec, is there any chance the passing record of yardage for the regular season will be broken?
That record has always felt so gargantuan to me, and I don't know if the extra game really changes that for me. I still want to say no because the 5,000-yard passer feels so unique and it feels so prestigious. And just imagine if Joe Burrow had like a functioning defense that could have helped him out a little bit last year and they could have had a couple turnovers and a few more extra possessions. Maybe that changes my mind last year Right now, even with the absurd pace that Josh Allen is on, he could be on pace for 7,500, and I'd probably still say no, because Peyton Manning, whatever he's up to
Peyton
these
Manning,
days.
Yes. It,
that's my favorite Manning as of this moment, but I don't think that gets touched yet. I just don't.
Now, it probably will be the same for Peyton Manning's record of 55 touchdowns in a season, though to be fair, Aaron Rodgers is on pace for 68 touchdowns, so congratulations to him. Now, unlikely candidate, will the regular season receiving yards record of 1,964 yards be broken? Once again, if you think the answer is yes, 5.5 times your money. Right now, Zay Flowers is on pace for more than 2,400 yards. So once again, easy pick. Obviously, Zay Flowers is going to get the job done. Alec, are you ready to make that wager?
I think I am, just not on Zay Flowers, unfortunately, even though he did win me a fantasy game this week. Thank you, even though nobody cares. We know that around here. But I think that's a little bit more realistic because of the extra game, more so than the passing yardage record, because it is easy to throw to the same guy all the time when he is that good and when he is that wide open. You could see that happen in Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase. You could, if that offense continues to flow in Minnesota, you could see it with a Justin Jefferson. I don't think that's as likely, but I think this year we have a good chance. If not, I think next year we probably will see a 2,000-yard receiver, and it's going to be amazing.
But will we see a 2,000-yard rusher? 7-1 on your money if you think the record of 2,105 yards can be broken. Currently, Derrick Henry is on pace for 17 fumbles. But more importantly, probably not to the Ravens, he is on pace for 2,873 yards.
Well,
now, while you're talking about the possibility or perhaps even likelihood of a 2,000-yard receiver, what do you think about the concept of somebody breaking Dickerson's record, and is it worth 7-1 odds for you?
I think we got so close last year, and I think that alone gives me the confidence that if one of these lead backs can play all 17 games, that's what's going to be the kicker, right? If the Ravens end up dominating the AFC after this week one loss, then is he even going to play, you know, in that week 18 game? We don't know. We probably expect him to sit down or maybe like the first half kind of thing if he plays at all. So I hope for the sake of it that the Ravens are still playing for something late in the season so you can see that. And for that reason, just because they're 0-1 right now, I'm going to overreact and say he has to play that final game and he will break the record. I would take that bet.
Oh, okay. 6-1 on your money. The last one. If you think the regular season sack record held by TJ Watt and Michael Strahan of 22.5 can be broken, and I think this is a good bet. Right now, Harold Landry is on pace for 42.5 sacks. So I just want you to check that out. Now, of course, these are ridiculous because it's only been one game, but I think they are super fun. From the 469, CD would break the yardage record if he could catch. All right. I get your point. And then from the 817, so what you're saying is Caleb Williams is the third favorite because two were tied for second. That means he's third. No, no, no. That
like
is
that.
Not how that works.
I like the logic. I don't hate it.
Yes, I know that you do. And that infuriates me. Speaking of how things work, Alec, are you embarrassed for me that I have never ordered an Uber?
You've never what?
I've never ordered an Uber.
Huh. With as much travel as you do. Does that not exist in Germany? Like,
we had a host family, and they drove us around, and that was super neat.
Well, yeah, saving money is cool too, so I can't really knock that.
And so, like, usually I am that person who, and I know people make fun of this, a lot of times when I go on vacation, I do like to rent a car, but that's probably just like a control factor more than anything. I like to know that like I can just snag my car and not have to worry about anything else. But I'm going to Vegas and I have never ordered an Uber. So I did this morning finally download Uber, and I feel like I'm probably, I don't know, like 10 years behind the rest of the world. So yeah, do you have any, here's what I want to know. 877-881-1053. Do you have any Uber tips for me? Like, and it could be whatever. Do you have any Uber tips for me? Because I'm going to need to go from the airport to the hotel and stuff like that. Do you have any tips for me while I'm in Las Vegas?
What I will say, since I know you are a very chronically planned out person, if you're able to time out things, book it in advance. Schedule the ride.
Yeah.
They will sometimes adjust the prices on the fly, but if you get out in front of it early enough, you can get really good deals on lower rates just because you booked it in the morning when you're going to be leaving somewhere in the evening. I did that for a concert a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And the traffic going towards AT&T Stadium was absurd.
Okay.
But I still got that Uber for like $17 for 15 miles down the highway. So, and then...
Now, the good news is, Alec, real quick, you'll love this. There's a shuttle for us to and from the fight on Saturday, because I'm going to be out there while you guys are rocking it at Taco Bueno in Arlington. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing a show from Las Vegas tomorrow for the Canelo-Crawford fight. So they do have a shuttle to and from the fight.
That's going to save some of your biggest stress out there, because the actual travel to the event itself is going to be a nightmare. If they're going to help you out with that, then you're all set. Obviously, getting back is going to be, it's going to take time.
Sure.
But, you know, if you get out in front of these things a little bit early, you can save a couple of bucks. It might only be like, you know, $5-$8 that you save. But hey,
you know me.
Yes.
I want to save
that. If you can
money.
Save that money, just get out in front of it as early as you possibly can. I know.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be tough. You're going to be kind of all over the place on the fly, kind of. But if you know, hey, I need to be here at this time, just schedule it early. Save yourself the money.
All right. So some good tips. Some tips so far that I think I would have followed from the 3-2-1. Don't throw up in the Uber.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Which you don't drink, so hopefully there's not many reasons for you to.
True. From the 214, don't do an Uber share. I mean, I'm just using my context clues to assume that means multiple people book the same Uber, and it's like a bus kind of almost where you have stops and whatnot.
Yeah, you're going to be stopping. You're going to be sharing a ride with a bunch of random people that, you know, it might just end up wasting your time.
From the 214, make sure your drivers match. Oh, that's a good. I don't want to get in the wrong car. Okay,
yes.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Now, this one, I hope that I would have followed anyway, but from the 940, don't be a D to the driver. They work their asses off. I appreciate the reminder. I'm hopeful that I would not have been a jerk to the driver either way, but thank you very much for the assistance. Yeah, you guys have been super helpful. I'm sorry that I'm at least probably 10, maybe more years behind the curve. Yeah. But also the other thing you mentioned is, since I don't drink, like, we've never had to like call an Uber or whatever to get a ride home.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so hence why I've never particularly done this. So if you're embarrassed for me that I'm so far behind the technology, no problem. I totally understand that.
Are you embarrassed?
Yes, a little bit. I appreciate all of the helpful hints as well. Now, I had one more question. From the 940, they hate Uber in Vegas. Drivers won't want to pick you up because you don't have a rating. I am concerned about that. I asked my wife about that. So I just signed up. I have no rating.
It didn't affect me whenever I first made an account, because I used Lyft a lot before I used Uber a couple weeks ago. So my first time using the app was literally like 2 weeks ago. So I can't hate on you too much, but I used Lyft instead. Just because they had coupons at the time or whatever to save a little bit of money. But yeah, I got a match. I got a driver within 5 minutes of requesting one. So without a rating. So I don't know. It might be different in a super busy area like Vegas, but it wasn't an issue for me.
Okay, man. Super helpful, you guys. Thank you very, very much for the 940 breaking news. Kevin is married. I hope people already knew that. But thank you very much to the Frankel & Frankel injury attorney line, and then also to the Twitch and to the YouTube for helping me out. These are super, super helpful suggestions. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some baseball nuggets, potential fatal flaws for the other challengers in the AL West. Got it. Next on The Fan.
Eighth pitch in the at-bat coming up here. And that ball is hit hard right side to his left to Lang. He's got it. Spins. Goes to Ortiz for one. Back to first. Not in time. Peterson gets across so that Hellman can score. And we're tied at two.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, so many extra Uber tips along the way. Oh, and then from the 817, you start with a 5.0 rating as an Uber newbie. Oh, great.
Look at you.
And then, I didn't know that. Somebody said that. And then another person said you have 2 minutes once the Uber arrives. After that, it charges you up to 5 minutes until they cancel. So, look, I've learned a lot. I understand the importance of needing to boogie once I get there. Right now, how about we do some baseball nuggets? Baseball nuggets, of course, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And I wanted to throw this out there because we've done so much discussion already today about the Rangers. Bleacher Report had an article about some of the other potential fatal flaws for other competitors. And of course, we will start with the Astros. And for the Astros, it's got to be health. We have talked about the health issues that they have had throughout the season. Obviously, they just had another pitcher who had just been making his second appearance since being out for 2 years leave the game because of elbow discomfort. And they have had injury on top of injury on top of injury. So while the Rangers are concerned about their own injuries and dealing with it in a very unique way, the potential fatal flaw for the Astros might just be their health. Now, for the Mariners, do you guys think this is a potential fatal flaw? Aces not performing like aces. So clearly the Mariners have a stout starting rotation. I mean, not as good as the Rangers starting pitching, but you know.
That's right.
Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Luis Castillo, Brian Wu. You have plenty of top-notch starting pitchers. Logan Gilbert, since the All-Star break, 3.88. ERA. After missing a couple of months with right shoulder inflammation, George Kirby, 4.47 ERA. Luis Castillo, 3.85 ERA. Now, none of these are inherently bad. Obviously, Logan Gilbert and Luis Castillo are sub-4. But if those are like supposed to be your stud stable of starting pitchers, those don't even hold a candle to Jacob DeGrom. Quite frankly, they put you closer in the line and even a little bit behind Jack Leiter as of late, and certainly nowhere near Nathan Eovaldi when he was healthy.
Yeah, and Seattle's one of those teams that you always just think year in, year out, they're going to pitch. And they're going to pitch very well. And it's for good reason, because they seem to always have a frontline rotation every single year. And guys like George Kirby, I think he's one of the best in baseball when he's on, because it feels like he has, I don't know, 17 different pitches he can throw at you. I still vividly remember in the last game of the season, in the 23 season, whenever he decided, hey, I've never thrown a knuckleball in my life, but I'm going to debut it against the Texas Rangers, and they're going to swing and miss at it every single time I throw it.
Right.
You know, they have those talented guys. Luis Castillo he's really polarizing.
Yes.
Because when he is on, he is one of the better aces, and like to the definition of ace in baseball. When he is off, you are pulling him after three innings because he has no command whatsoever. You're starting to see the ebbs and flows of the season catching up to them at the worst time possible. You mentioned that Logan Gilbert was a little bit dinged up as well. So some of the fatigue of the season catching up to them. But you hope, you know, if the Mariners are going to make a playoff push, they're hoping that you know, whenever you shorten up the rotation going into the playoffs, that, hey, some of these guys can get some extra rest and whatnot. But whenever you're the Rangers making that push going into the end of the season, heading towards to October, you're like, man, it's okay if Luis Castillo wants to, you know, lose all command for three innings.
Right.
And then they have to stretch out the bullpen a little bit, and they have to do that for the rest of the year. That's where things get dicey for them. So the Mariners are the team that really is going to control this for me, because the Astros, like you said, it feels like they can't stay healthy. I'm not too worried about them right now offensively, but the Mariners, if they start pitching again, I'm a little bit worried.
Now, this is in the vein of baseball, but it's going to touch on something else that I know a lot of people have already texted in about today. The Yankees held a moment of silence before their game yesterday and honored Charlie Kirk after he was assassinated. I've seen multiple people text in about that this morning, and some people even like, how can you care about sports at a moment like this? And this is usually what my default is in a lot of these situations, because unfortunately we've had so many terrible things, from, you know, assassinations like this, or murders, or so many school shootings. Like, there's been so many terrible things that have happened, like, going into our show. Is this is a sports and nonsense show, and we're going to just try to bring you as much sports info and have as much fun as possible to hopefully take your mind off of something like this, especially if it is bringing you down. So we're here to try to do our jobs the best we can and hopefully have some fun and inform along the way and take your mind off of so many terrible things that are happening in, like, the real world. All right. Now, on the baseball front, let's talk about pitchers. Paul Skenes, he has reached 200 strikeouts, the presumptive Cy Young Award winner in the National League. He becomes the eighth player in Pirates history to strike out at least 200 batters in a season. By the way, the Pirates have been around for 144 years. But I know, right? But I want to talk about the lack of no-hitters this season. So there was a no-hitter back on March 22nd, because it was a seven-inning no-hitter. And it was essentially a spring training no-hitter. Not essentially, it was a spring training no-hitter. So for the last 19 years, we've seen at least one no-hitter every single year. Thus far, you have not gotten the complete game no-hitter. Do you have any radical theories as to why this is? And I know people are going to say starting pitchers go shorter in the game, and I understand that, but it even happened, you know, last year, the year before, and we've seen the shortening of the starting pitcher for a really long time.
Yeah, outside of that, it's really hard to put a finger on why offense has been up. But I don't know, maybe it is part of the mental side of the game too, where, you know, the analytics guys are always going to tell you the third time through the order. Maybe just with some of the looks, and, you know, I think I heard Murph talking about it on the pregame show during the Brewers series, where he was like, these guys have so many angles and so many different videos that they can see. This is why, you know, pitchers are having to change gloves throughout the season and whatnot, and change up their tendencies, because the ways that they can get tells of certain pitches, just because of the technology that is 100% legal, it's 100% allowed,
sure,
you know, that they have plenty of time, you know, when there's eight batters ahead of them after striking out on a changeup, you know, they can go back, grab the iPad for the next two innings and say, I think I notice a little bit of a change in the leg kick there on an off-speed pitch or whatnot. So maybe it is just the amount of information that's available is allowing the hitters more time to kind of dissect and understand pitchers. But also for me, the spot start and the need for youth might be some of it too, just because the shortening of the starting pitcher, the older pitcher is not going to throw as many innings. You're having more inexperienced guys coming up, leading to less quality starts in games in general.
Now, those are all really well thought out explanations, Alec. But I want you to consider this. There's a fun website called No Hitters. So, you know, they'll call it like the no-no. So, no-nohitters.com. And the guy who runs it, Dirk Lammers, he said, that's going to be a fake name. I'd love to say it's because of the pitch clock or because they're moving in the outfield walls or anything, but I can't really think of any reason. It's so random. And so he goes, I guess if I had a huge budget, I would be able to sponsor an outfield wall display or something and maybe figure this whole thing out. So essentially, you gave lots of good reasons. I feel like I threw out a couple as well. But the guy who runs one of the no-hitter sites said, yeah, you know what I think it is? Weird randomness.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like that in a lot of pro sports?
A little bit.
Our job is to try to explain things, but you see stuff like that and you're like, well, it happened. That's your explanation. It just happened. That's the way it is. There's no numbers, analytics, or anything. I tried to give you a good answer. I tried to give you two.
Dumb luck.
But the real answer is, that's just the way it goes this year. Why not?
And then last thing, Anthony Rizzo also retired. Didn't get a chance to mention that yesterday. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.